Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. When you are in trouble, especially financial trouble, and you can't get help from a financial institution, what do you do? You may go to relatives for help or a close friend and hope to get help. Of course, if you are a church member, you may ask the church for assistance. If you have mental or emotional problems, we may go to a competent person for help, such as a psychiatrist. If we have moral or spiritual problems, which it seems we all do, we may, at least some of us, go to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And that's what we should do for any and all problems. But how many do? Do you? If you don't, you are passing up a great opportunity and a great blessing. Christ and God want to help you and me and all our problems. And of course, they are the only one that can deliver morally and spiritually. And our moral and spiritual problems are the cause of most or perhaps all our problems as an individual, as a nation, and as a world. But we have an elder brother, Jesus Christ, a high priest and a savior and a mediator that invites us to unload all our cares on him. For he suffered in the flesh for you and died for you and me as well, of course, the whole world. He gave up his Godhead for us, his divinity, his power for you. He was mistreated for you. He was beaten beyond recognition for you. Notice this prophecy about Christ's sufferings that's found back in Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. As a matter of fact, the entire chapter here is related to that. Christ's sufferings for the whole world and what he gave up for the whole world and what God the Father gave up as well. Notice what it says in Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And speaking of Christ here in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Yes, he looked like any other Jew of his day. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, why was Christ a man of sorrows and why was he acquainted with grief? He never sinned. He never was sick. He never brought anything upon himself to make him have grief and to make him a sorrowful man. Well, he had sorrows and he had grief when he saw how mankind was suffering, what mankind was doing to himself, following the ways of Satan. He cared for people, and he still does. One on here in verse 3, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, indeed, and Christ invites us to come to us with our griefs and our sorrows. Surely he has borne our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, that is, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, that is, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yes, my friends, he took the beating so that he could know how we feel when we are hurting. And he gave his life so that we could be reconciled to God. And you know, it behooves us, if we want to do what's right, it behooves us to think about these things and to realize what Christ has done for us and to realize that we should give our heart, our all, in obedience and in reverence to our God and to our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, says, we have all sinned, and we're all going our own way. And Christ died so that we could be reconciled to God. Because, you know, it says that God can't look upon sin. So Christ gave his life that we, the world, could be reconciled to God the Father. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Speaking of Christ, and you know the New Testament says in the book of Peter, says that when he was reviled, he reviled not again. In other words, it wasn't Christ's attitude or his character or his way, his thoughts or his attitudes to take vengeance. He was willing to suffer for you and me. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. In other words, there was no justice rendered to Christ when he was on trial for his life, no justice whatsoever. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. The transgressions, the sins, God says, of my people. Sin is the transgression of the law. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Eternal to bruise him. He was put to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, yes, he gave his soul, he gave his life as an offering for your sins and for my sins. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Speaking of Christ here, dying and making us just before our God, making us righteous before our God, and as a matter of fact, making our sins be washed away through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is, if we repent and we begin to want to obey God. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He makes intercession to God the Father for you and for me right now. He was resurrected so you could have life, so you could be resurrected and have eternal life. Notice what God inspired to be written about Christ in Romans 5, verse 6 through 10. Romans 5, verse 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, at the proper and the right time, Christ gave his life for you and for me. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, Christ died for you and me while we were still sinners, so that we could become righteous. Verse 9, for much more than having now been justified by his blood, yes, justified by his blood, made righteous by his death, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yes, we're saved by the life of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Verse 9, the word wrath here means punishment. Let's go back and read verse 9 here again. For much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Be saved from punishment, from vengeance, from the death penalty. Now notice verse 10. For if we, when we were enemies, were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Yes, Christ was resurrected and the firstborn to be born as a son of God into the family and kingdom of God. So you and I may have that same opportunity. Yes, Christ died for your sins and for mine so we could be justified or made righteous, our sins forgiven. But we are saved by his life. He sits at the right hand of God the Father as a merciful high priest, a mediator, a savior, a friend, to secure his begotten sons and daughters, and as an elder brother to realize what we are going through in a physical and a mental, emotional sense as well as in a spiritual sense. He has gone through it all and much more severe than you and I have or will. So Christ goes to God the Father on our behalf, and in that way we obtain the help we need in our troubles, whether they are physical, financial, mental or emotional problems, or moral or spiritual problems. Christ is there for you and for me. Now God expects us to do what we can for self and for others. God in Christ doesn't expect us to sit around and do nothing and leave it all up to God. Faith without works is dead. But God doesn't expect us to try to solve our problems without his help and guidance and without obeying God's word. That is the reason for all of our problems and troubles of this world. We create problems by not obeying God. Then we try to solve our problems our way, continuing to disobey God and try to solve our problems, leaving God completely and totally out of the picture. It hasn't worked. It won't work. God and Christ want to help you and will if you are willing to meet God's requirements. Notice what God has to say in Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. I want to quote this again. God will help us if we're willing to meet God's requirements. Help is there. Christ promised that help. Claim his promise and lighten your cares. But notice what God had to say here in Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he will not hear. Yes, God says he doesn't hear sinners, and sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. My friend, I see my time is running out here. We'll go on with this in our next program. But in the meantime, if you would like more understanding as to how to receive God's grace and God's guidance and his help and his mercy in time of need, then request your free articles. And all you need to do is call us at 1-800-611-8080 and request your free articles, Natural Consequences and What Does God Require? And all you need to do is just call us, the Churches of God Outreach Ministries, at 1-800-611-8080 and request your articles, Natural Consequences and the article, What Does God Require? Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle, and I'll see you on the next program. Thanks for joining us today.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.